This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
All righty. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. How are you, Mary Relay?
Doing well. How are you?
Are you sure?
I think so.
This is like you're doing this cool diet thingy. Is it like messing with your energy or your brain, or are you feeling like sharper or duller or
nope? Like, it's fine. I did give up caffeine.
You gave up caffeine. Like what were you? Are you like a coffee, a Coke?
Yeah,
Your Lent thing?
Pardon me?
Was that your Lent thing?
No, it's a diet thing. They want you to.
No caffeine.
Part of
whatsoever.
This diet is all about your adrenals too,
mm-hmm.
and so uh-huh. you have to give up caffeine. And I don't drink pop. I just drink like a cup and a half of coffee in the morning. So I switched to decaf.
I have just never been a coffee person. I just cannot get into coffee at all. Richie, are you a coffee person? Are you like, is that one of your thingies? Or
you're a tea guy.
You're a tea guy.
Well, if I do coffee, I there's no way I would do decaf.
There's no,
why?
You know, I.
There's, it's like,
yeah.
It's like having a cookie with no sugar, you know? I mean,
okay.
Like, I just like the ritual of the hot beverage in the morning and.
So let me ask you this: to get out of that
tea,
and so we are habitual creatures, right? I mean, let's be honest. And anytime I can say that word hidden within another word and make it sound clean and get that clean rating here on our show, then I'm happy to do that. But we are habitual creatures. Would you not agree? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I would agree. And so, would you agree that it's difficult to change your mindset and get it, especially when you have a physiological tie to certain things that you do in your life? Yeah, I mean,
you're talking about food or just anything?
Like anything. Like food.
Mindset's
specifically.
Everything.
Yeah. Mindset is everything, and whether you think you can or you can't, you're right,
or you might not.
I came up with that, by the way. I don't know if somebody else
said that.
No, whether you think you can or you can't.
Who was it? Henry Ford?
You're right. No, Steve Ulsher. I came up with that.
You're taking credit for that.
I'm taking. Okay, the guy's dead. He can't defend it.
He can't say.
You're okay. Good.
Annoying.
Right. Yeah, no. Not yeah. Well, for sure. All right. So let me do this. Let me bring on our guest today, who is going to help us with all of this and help us with our issues of mindset and becoming the better us, because Lord knows I need this guy. Really, I need this guy like immediately, and clearly you need this guy, Richie, when it comes to putting food in your mouth.
Yeah,
and
that
changing.
Was just horrible.
That went
yeah,
everywhere. Where did that go?
Everywhere except in my mouth.
All right, so let's bring in our friend Martin Lucas, and the first thing we have to figure out with Martin is, do you go by Martin or Marty? Because we don't want to call you the wrong thing the whole time here.
Marty's good for friends. If you take it in a different direction, it has to be Martin.
Okay, so by the end of the show, we'll know where we stand, because
that's the question to end with. Which name works?
Name works for you? All right, and clearly you're calling in from New Jersey, right? Is that that's where you're from, New Jersey?
I'm actually from New York.
Uh-huh.
No, that's the best. That's the best accent I can do. I live in London in the UK, but my accent is Scottish. That's where I'm originally from.
Oh, and so is that I've actually never been. Have you ever been to the UK at all, Mary Goulet? Have you?
I've been to London.
You have?
And France.
And so have you been there, Richie? I have not been there.
Can't wait to get to Scotland. That's where Trisha's family's from.
Really?
A lot of it.
Very cool. And that's where you're joining us from today, Marty?
From Paisley.
Yeah, I'm just outside London today. I travel quite a lot, but yeah, I'm home for once. It's nice.
Nice, man. All right, so let's do this. Let's take a step into the present moment and give folks an understanding of where you are in your work right now in terms of what it is that you do, because you're definitely one who's into a lot of very interesting things. But would you kind of summarize what you're up to as helping people with their mindset?
Yeah, I mean, my big passion's always been what I call the science of thought. So everything from emotional intelligence to behavioral science to neuroscience. So on the fun side, you're really talking about the science of happiness. And what I've been doing, I mean, with my own personal mindset, is I've spent the past 2 years building a team, building a model to build a service that's going to help an awful lot of people. So it's been quite fun, really.
So the so the science of happiness. Okay.
Yeah, my kind of guy.
Right? And so is your background, does it lend itself to this work? Or did you just kind of like, you know, no one ever comes up and says, Steve Olshey, you're America's reinvention expert. Like I just assigned that to me and no one can argue because I gave me that moniker. So did you, does your background lend itself to the work that you're doing? Or is this something... that you just kind of picked up and said, "Hey, this is where I'm going to focus."
I would classify myself as hopefully somebody that hits your mark in terms of reinvention. So, to answer your question, I mean, my life was, to other people's point of view, successful. So I'd had four businesses, I'd won 16 awards for what I'd done, I'd published a book, but I wasn't doing the thing that I really loved. Like, I was doing people-related things, but not fully down the science route, not all the science that I love. That's why I kind of kicked everything to the curb 2 years ago to focus on doing exactly what I wanted, which is the science part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that look like when you say you're doing the science part? Is that research or is it disseminating information that you've found and giving it to clients?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of everything. If I was to take you through the 2 years, so I've traveled around the world, spending time with some of the world's largest companies and emerging companies in the casino industry, in the technology industry, in the creative agencies in terms of advertising and marketing, putting the team together. I've spent time with a number of different types of sciences relative to so many different things that you need to uncover if you want to understand what makes people happy. So we've looked at addiction, we've looked at suicide, we've looked at what happiness actually is, we've looked at what I call the three-tiered processor, which is the conscious mind, the subconscious, the unconscious. Like 2 years of literally lots of hard work, not all been easy, but certainly been lots of fun to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you conclude from all of that, especially studying people who have committed suicide?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
yeah, I mean, I, in my belief that you have to go to the deepest, darkest parts of what has happened to people, and suicide and addiction and things like that is obviously one of the deepest parts. If you can understand what causes it, and there's lots of variables to that, there's not one singular answer, but if you understand what leads people down that route, what's happened to them from a mental health point of view, then over time you can start to reverse that back and start to understand what the science of happiness actually is and how the brain really operates as a processor, as a computer, if you like.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this then. As far as happiness is concerned, I mean, how would you, first and foremost, how would you define happiness? Like, what does that really mean? And what does someone who actually is happy, what does that person look, sound, feel, act like?
I think that in a practical sense, when we're talking about it, in my belief, it might not surprise you since I'm talking about science so much, but I believe that there's a scientific understanding of what happiness can be. Because for most people, to answer your question, they've got strong self-belief, they've got high self-awareness, they've got a degree of enlightenment, and what I mean by enlightenment is that they've got control of their mind. So what you'll find with most degrees of happiness, in the joking sense, people joke about Buddhism and can be negative about what meditation is and things like that. And I'm not a person selling meditation or things like that today. What I am selling to people is the fact that what happens from a science and when you analyze meditation is that most people are just stilling their minds. And stilling your mind means that you're taking control and understanding what sits in the unconscious part of your mind, which is where your habits and your behaviors sit. Which from a neuroscience point of view is basically when the brain is formed, you've got two main stages in terms of coming into adulthood. You've got 0 to 7, and then you've got 7 to 14. And lots of people are completely unaware of why their behaviors and their habits are what they are.
Mm-hmm.
They might not even have the awareness of what their habits and behaviors are. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's very true.
Yeah. I would agree. I mean, isn't that sort of what we call our blind spots, or you know, our BS, or whatever you want to refer to it as? It's kind of like using a landmark expression, right? I mean, we don't know what we don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of the phrases that they popularized. Yeah, popularized.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So if you were to take it a step further, and then you start to understand yourself, like why your behaviors are what they are, why your habits are what they are, what caused it to be, both from your childhood, which is not always, you know, for some people it's like they've got hang up to do with their relationship with one of their parents, with their siblings, or they had a traumatic event and things like that as well. But for lots of people, they're just living their life and they don't have complete awareness of what makes them the person that they are. Mm-hmm. And what we've discovered is that happiness is really when people still their minds. And what you mean by that is if you uncover something that gives you the answer as to why your behavior is the way that it is, it allows you to stop thinking about it. It lessens the dark thoughts that you might have. It lessens the negative thinking. And at the end of the day, people who are happiness by the scientific kind of way, to answer your question again, are just people that have a clear understanding of who they are.
Mm-hmm. So when people talk about self-actualization and those sort of things, it almost just sounds like we have control of our minds. Now we're going to that was interesting. And so we're going to have to cut to commercial here in just a few seconds, but let me ask you to think about this, cuz we'll come back and we'll revisit this then after the break. Just I really have a question about what can we do, right, to regain control of our minds, because like I've tried to meditate. I can't do it. Like my mind goes everywhere, and even just in life and going down these dark paths and these sort of things that I have a tendency to do. Yeah.
So you have complete no discipline whatsoever.
I have no discipline whatsoever. I think that's a really great way to put it. So my question for Marty, and I'm hoping you can address this after the break then, is how do we really regain control of our minds and get us to do what it is that's in our best interest? All right, guys. More with Marty Lucas here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Much to do, not enough time to get it done? Call on the experts at Another 8 Hours for your business support needs. By partnering with Another 8 Hours, we allow you to focus on the more important matters, like being in front of your clients, doing what you do best, rather than being stuck at a desk poring over paperwork, rummaging through emails, returning phone calls, and struggling to get everything done by yourself. Meanwhile, your family and social life are going down the drain. Go to another8hours.com or call 8 More Hours. That's 866-734-6877.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. We're reinventing mindset today with the one and only Marty Lucas of mastermindset.co. And that's mastermindset.co. And Marty, that's not a mastermindset.co.uk. It's just a straight out .co, correct? Hold on here. Wade, where are we at? We got Marty? Is Marty still with us? Hold on. Marty is making himself happy right now, and now you're happy again. All right, there we go. Yay. All right, so Marty, what I was asking you, and obviously it's 3 a.m. your time, so thanks for hanging out with us at this wee hour here.
But I apologize. I have a back phone, so when people needing happiness call me, I have to answer it. So.
Yeah, man, all good. But I was just asking, I just want to make sure we get this website correct for you. It's mastermindset.co, not .co.uk or any of that stuff?
Yeah, one of those modern endings, so yeah.
All right, sweet. All right, mastermindset.co. There we go. All right, so before the break, we were just kind of chatting here a little bit about, I think it's possible, right, to regain control of your brain and be able to tell it what to do as opposed to you telling it. I mean, like, can you actually do it? Can you regain control? So for someone like myself who can't meditate and those sort of things, is there any hope for us?
I believe there's hope for everybody, but they have to feel ready.
Okay, so let's assume I'm ready. Then what? Then what do I do? Because I am ready. I am so ready. I'm like SpongeBob
but is
ready.
Is that true?
No, it's not really true. Even SpongeBob is lying about being ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. You ever see? You never saw?
I
SpongeBob.
Love SpongeBob.
All right, cool.
It's true. You got to be ready.
So, all right, so I'm ready.
Cool. So do you like reading or do you like listening to stuff? What's your preference?
I'm definitely, it actually depends. Sometimes if it's a good book, I will actually read it. I'm reading a really good book to my boys right now. It's like a 700-page book and we're going through it. I prefer listening.
Okay. So I would get there's an app called Headspace.
Headspace. Okay. Headspace. Okay. Got it.
Uh-huh. Nice and easy introduction to help start slowing your mind down.
Mm-hmm.
That's as close as you come to meditation.
Okay, Headspace, got it.
Second thing for me is books.
because I believe it's a gradual process. Because in order to believe that you can be happy, you have to start or control your mind, to use your words. You have to take a kind of baby step approach to it. I'd recommend a great book that I read called What Is Your What?
Marty.
Really?
You're a good one.
To throw that in there.
You know, it's funny timing, because I was going to say, why don't you pick one of the old textbooks that used to make you fall asleep in your one of your classes?
There we go. I've got boxes and boxes of it right there in my house.
Perfect timing.
Nice.
You could just do that. So,
and there's another book called The Power of Habit, 2 years old, huge success with Charles Duhigg. Wonderful book.
Great book.
There's another one called Rather Unfortunate Thing called Dick Schmidt.
Wait, do that one again. What's that one called?
Dick Schmidt.
That's the name of the book?
Yeah. Well, no, that's the author. The name of the book is We Are Our Brain.
Oh, we are. Yeah. I was like, I don't know if I want to read a book called We Are Our Brain from a guy by the name of Dick Shit. I mean, that just doesn't sound like I'm not going to pick up his book. So he needs to have like a pen name. We'll call him and work on a pen name with him. Okay, so We Are Our Brain. Okay, so I got it. So we do some listening headspace stuff. We do some reading, and then what do we do here?
Well, my point about why would somebody name three different books and an app, right? Is there's no definitive answer for each individual, because every person has their own degree of resistance to change. And that's the biggest battle that you have, because most people on this planet will reject self-awareness of trying to understand themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's the first battle.
Yeah, it's almost too easy, right? It's almost like people think it's too easy, so they don't put time into it. Like, oh, no, yeah, I got that. And they're on to the next thing. It's like, no, that's why I was... When he first was asking that question, the way you start out the frame before you ask the next question is like the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a thumbnail on your YouTube or whatever it is, right? You control the frame right before. So I like what he's saying.
Okay.
It's good stuff.
Cool. So, all right. So you read, you do the listening, different modalities, different ways of thinking about this. Then what's the next step? Because you actually have a step-by-step process, right? You got like 11 steps to happiness or something like that, I think you call it.
Yeah, I've got the key to happiness, I call it. That's one of the summary books that we've put together, but I don't think we're going to release it as a book. I think we're going to start doing podcasts. So we're just going to do it super simple, you know, 5 to 15 minutes tea break type stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things that we said to do at the start was, whilst making money is amazing, we've got the business side of it sorted, that's what we're launching. But we're going to do the podcast as just a helpfulness thing to help people find that happiness, find that part of it.
Yeah.
The kind of thing we'd love to have you guys on to talk about, you know, what is your what and all the things you guys do, it'd be amazing.
Sure. So let's do this just so we can help folks from a degree of I guess what we might call a sort of practicality in terms of steps and things that they can actually implement then in their life. Is it possible then to take us through just kind of briefly what some of those other steps are, and then we can expand on one of those or a few of those if that would make sense. So what are the other steps?
So I'll point out one that. Fundamental one that most people aren't aware of, and that is what they call existence pain. So pretty much every human being on this planet is scared of death in some different way.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've discovered in the kind of psychotherapy world is that whether somebody has an issue with death, a relationship issue, a parent issue, the commonality of it is existence pain. So you know how humans are curious, like, why are we on this planet? Why do we exist? What is my purpose? You know that kind of stuff, right?
Sure.
Right. Once you understand that all of us are challenged by why are we here? Why are we going to do this life? What is the point of humanity? It helps you realize that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most common thing from all the coaching that I've done in a business sense, all the research we did in this. Years is you come across this all the time. One of the biggest causes of suicidal feeling is when somebody feels that they're on their own, they're not loved, there's nobody there for them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest challenges when you're starting your own business is you feel that you're on your own, nobody's got any answers for you, you don't know how to marketing, you feel lonely.
Yeah.
And then if you think about the relationship issues and challenges that people have with their parents, it's generally sometimes tension, not feeling lonely. My point is that there's a commonality. So once you understand that you're not sitting there on your own, and lots of people, if not everybody, feel a similar version of that yourself, it helps you realize that you're not as weird as what you think, because we're all a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I do think that there's a lot to be said for finding that community, right? To finding that sense of belonging and Mary, whether it's, you know, maybe in a place of worship, right? Like where you go, and I'm sure you find a pretty strong sense of community there because you're there a lot and you do your volunteer work, right?
Yes.
So is that where you get the sense then of you're not alone? Is that what gives you comfort or?
So that's just for me particularly,
yeah.
It's not been an issue. I'm mm-hmm. totally fine being by myself and I don't get a sense of aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I understand people who do have that sense.
Yeah.
And when it comes to people relative to suicide, I just think they're not in their right mind to truly understand that, of course, family, they are loved.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to go,
Yeah.
But in a general sense, speaking about happiness and even contentment, I think being aware of yourself and what you're doing that maybe makes you feel bad about yourself, if it's a habit or if it's something that you wish you didn't do, but you still do it anyway, that kind of chips away at your own self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that is true.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because you can look at somebody on the surface or you can look at an organization on the surface and you can feel like, you know, they really have it all together. Like it's a great company or just this person is doing amazing work in the world. And then on the inside, you never know really what's going on there. I mean, you can look at what's going on with Uber, and I've got another example I want to ask you about after the break here. But we got about 90 seconds or so before we're going to catch to the next break here. But I'm just curious, when you work with an organization, is that one of the first core things that you work on is helping create that sense of community and helping folks feel like they're not operating in a silo?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of the things that we love to focus on. I mean, it's one of our filters, actually. Like, we've got certain rules of companies we will and won't work with. And that whole idea of a community or that rebirth of a community-based mindset is starting to emerge in the world. And we've lost that community spirit, I think, in many parts of our lives. But we're starting to see little hints of light that's starting to change. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we're gonna have to do this. We're gonna have to take a quick break here, and we've got Marty joining us from Scotland actually, and that explains a little bit of what's going on here with the audio. So we'll try to get a better connection there with Marty, and see if we can't get him to sound just a wee little bit clearer, and then we'll bring him back on after the break. But we're talking to Marty Lucas here of MasterMindset.co, and of course. And Mary, you can attest to this. I mean, as you well know throughout your whole life, I mean, the power of the mind is everything. And if your mind's in the wrong place, you don't get anywhere, yeah?
Yeah, and it also comes down to making decisions. Like, how do you want your life to be? And what are you doing to try to get where you want to be?
Mm-hmm. And do you think you can shift on a dime? Like, wake up tomorrow and be like, okay, I'm done with that? Like, I'm moving on in a different way?
I think over the years, I've learned how to be more disciplined and do that. But it's mm-hmm. people typically on a fundamental level do not change quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It takes effort. It takes that mindset like he's talking about.
Yeah, definitely takes effort. Definitely takes that mindset. And hopefully we'll get Marty back on here with a clearer connection because there's so much more to cover here on Reinventing Mindset with Marty Lucas and the gang here at Reinvention Radio. We'll be right back right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All righty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. And this is Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hello, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Who has completely changed her mindset about food and eating and so on. And so impressive. Like, you come here with, like, your Tupperware of lettuce and, like, turkey and avocados and such things, and it's super cool.
She's changed her mindset.
You have completely changed your mindset about food. Now you're eating five times a day.
Yes.
Instead of just one big meal. That's awesome. And Richie Ote, what's up, Aaron?
How's it
hanging
going?
Out. And we got Marty Lucas joining us from Scotland. I can't even do a Scottish accent. Like, no way, no how. And all right. So before the break, we were just trying to get you on a better connection there. And hopefully we have got that now. Are you with us, brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, good. Well, welcome back. Let me ask you a question because, you know, we were talking a little bit about just some of the things that you can do to change your mindset. And specifically around happiness. And it's interesting because you talked about one of the key things being feeling like you're not alone and feeling like you have a sense of community and people understand you. We're all freaks and geeks and, you know, all of that stuff as well. And there was a beautiful woman who was, what's the best way to put it? She was in the, her work revolved around helping people become more sexually liberated. And so just a beautiful woman, a beautiful presence. You looked at her, you thought, you know, she had it all, and she would, you know, do these deep eye gaze meditations with people. And just on the surface, just like,
did she
really
help you, by the way?
She did not help me. I did not work with her personally. I would have brought my wife and we could have walked, you know, worked some stuff together, which would have been great. And so,
coming on this kind of show.
Well, you are coming on this kind of show.
Your dating shows get better ratings, yeah, right? So he's trying to make it.
And so she had this whole community of people who loved her and adored her and really helped, you know, just she helped them in so many ways in their life. And and she ended up committing suicide. And like on the surface, you looked at it and you go, geez, you know, this woman's got it all. I mean, she's so free and she's so liberated and she's just, you know, just proud of her sexuality and just and has this community and she's got great products and programs and services, and yet she obviously didn't feel that way about herself and ended up committing suicide not terribly long ago. I won't name names here, but she had a pretty rough childhood with abuse, emotional, physical, sexual abuse and trauma, and so I think a lot of what she was doing perhaps was overcompensating maybe for some of what she had to deal with in her life and was struggling with in her mind, because most women aren't that way. You know, you come across a woman who is like that and, you know, it's attractive for sure, but then at the same token, it's kind of like maybe, you know, because it's not a social norm, so to speak. So I guess, you know, more than anything, what I really I'm hoping you can provide some insight on is if you have been in a situation where you've been a victim of any sort of trauma like that, can you ever truly recover from that? And if so, how?
I think that's a really great question. So unbeknown to you guys, I'm actually on the board of a not-for-profit that helps mainly females that have been victims of trauma. And that generally comes under physical, mental, sexual abuse. And the way that I describe trauma is that when something deep and traumatic happens to you, it creates a new cognitive pattern, a new way of thinking inside your brain. And I liken it to if you imagine like a cavern, right? So the deepest cavern you can imagine. And that's what gets created in the brain. That's what you think about. You can't stop thinking about it. And that's what you do. And then over time, when you get the right kind of help, it's kind of like getting given a pebble, and you've got a pebble, and you're scratching it on concrete. And over time, you're trying to build the same cavern. Make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's a slow process. You've got a pebble on concrete. You're going over and over. Eventually, you can build a cavern, and you can change effectively your mindset. You get rid of the trauma. But when it comes to trauma, it can just take the slightest thing. It's like flipping a, you know, flipping a switch, and it just drives you back into that cavern. The thing to understand about trauma, about changing your mindset, about suicidal thinking, is that your cognition has changed. Something has happened to you that's just driven you to a different way of thinking. And lots of times, like let's leave the super deep trauma, the negative, the suicide part of it. But lots of times people get caught thinking about the past too much. They're like, oh man, I wish I could be Marty. The Marty that I knew in 2005 was so awesome. He had everything going on. He was confident. He was this guy. And you hear people talking about it, right? You're stuck thinking about the past. Mm-hmm. And equally, you get people that worry a lot and they think too much about the future. What we're talking about with defining your mindset, with having control of it, with having conscious understanding, is that you forever live within the present. Because living within the present means that you're not worrying about the past, you're not defining yourself that way, and you're not worrying about the future or your existence and things like that. So getting grounded in the present is honestly one of the ultimate goals of just getting control of yourself, because it's a way to know that you're content with who you are. And content might be a better word than us talking about happiness, because happiness makes people think. They overthink it, right? They think of somebody that's just running about, that's cheery all the freaking time and super annoying.
Throwing flowers in the air and jumping around.
Yeah, Richie, did you have a question?
Oh, no. I love it because it's my jam. I love happiness and what he's talking about.
Like, yeah, for sure.
It's all a mindset. If it wasn't a mindset thing and it was just looks and money, Hollywood would never get divorces. Mm-hmm. Of course it's a mindset thing, right? Yeah.
So Marty, let me ask you this then. For those who are having difficulty then staying in that present moment where they're thinking about the past and dragging that past into their present, or they're worried about or have anxiety about what is coming at them in the future or what might come at them in the future. Like even my son was asking, my 10-year-old was asking the other day, he was crying, he was very upset about, like, are we going to have World War III? You know, because of what's going on with Trump and Syria and him trying to fight everybody, right? So he's really worried about that. How do you help people? What do you suggest people do to gain control when their mind goes in places that doesn't serve them well?
So I'll generalize it a little bit with some of the common things that we found. Is people that are looking to the past too much often make excuses, or they make assumptions because our understanding of science and knowledge isn't quite where we want it to be. I mean, realistically, we're only just beginning to open the door of how neuroscience and how the brain actually works. But a lot of people that are stuck in the past believe it's their DNA. They make excuses about their behaviors. I'm this way because my family's this way. I'm this way because that's who I am. Yeah. I can't change it. The reality is that the main tip that I've got for that is that nobody is born with behaviors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are born with a mental build in terms of chemical releases and things like that in our brain, which can lead to mental health in different ways, right? That's totally cool. Mm-hmm. What I'm talking about is actually behaviors. So we are born, and the society that you're born in, the culture that you're born in, the parents that you have, the friends that you have, they create your behaviors. That's how the brain is formed in two different phases. So believing that if you want to sit there and say that I am this person and that's who I'll always be and this is the past that I've had, then that's self-defeating. That's the biggest balance, the thing that you've got to get past.
Yep.
Make sense?
Totally.
Right. And then from the future point of view, that's us flipping back to existence pain. The most common thing that happens with somebody that's constantly worrying and thinking about the future is that most people that hear this will deny it because they don't know that where it comes from unconsciously. But when you're thinking about the future, it's generally because you're frustrated about an unfulfilled life. Mm-hmm. So genuine reference, right? I would go back to what is your what? Mm-hmm. Because people need to understand it, because you could be living the most glorious life, like the lady that you talked about, right?
Yeah.
Outwardly, everything looks great. You've got money in the bank. Everything's good. You're popular, all these kind of things. That doesn't mean that internally that you're happy. And I think the key to happiness is that the answer always lies within yourself.
Yeah.
But to get there, you need to start understanding, like, what it is that drives you as an individual.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So much more we could certainly cover here on Reinventing Mindset. Go check out what Marty Lucas is up to at mastermindset.co.co there. All right, my friends, thanks for tuning in to Reinvention Radio today. Mary Valera with TM Steve Olsher. We'll talk to you guys really soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.